Once we focus on God with vigilance, with Nipsi, this is when we prove that we love God. And if we return to ourselves, our struggle will just be human. And we will have a struggle. And sometimes we say that I'm trying to focus, I'm trying to be spiritual, this and that, but I'm tired. I don't have patience. I don't have the, as we said before, we need Andrea. We need to be brave. I don't have the brave spirit that I need. And Yerda says, why do you worry? Why are you sad? And why are you tired? Why do you lose your peace? You're not the one who can control everything. So just do your best and leave everything to God. We go, if we have something to confess, we confess it, and we move on. And as we said, we don't stay in the past. Sometimes we go for confession and we say to our spiritual father that this person gave me this difficulty and did this to me and I lost my peace and this and that. So, of course, our brother might have been wrong, but we lost the only chance we had to prove our patience and to use this chance to move closer to God. Because when you confess, it's not about confessing what the other did to you, but it's about yourself. So we have to do our best, regardless what others do to us, to be able to overcome this difficulty and move on. So we understand that the true repentance and confession can only be a result of vigilance, a result of Nipsi. If we don't have Nipsi, if we don't have vigilance, we cannot understand what's wrong inside us. And we cannot understand what we need to confess and what we need to correct, because our vision is not clear. So we focus on everyone around us and the difficulties that they give us, and we do not focus on how to fix few things that they're not 100% with ourselves. Another thing that Yerda suggests is that we have to go through people without being noticed. What does this mean? We will do what we can do to help others, but at least without wanting to be noticed. Because if we want to be noticed, it means that the focus is on ourselves and it's not on God. So this is what Jesus did when the Jews, they tried to captivate him and kill him, throw him through the cliff. So what he did, he got lost in the crowd and they couldn't find him because he was not standing out. He was not trying to impress. Another thing is that once we practice Nipsi, we should not make it obvious to others. We should not make it obvious to anyone that we're practicing it, because the tempter won't be happy and we will have problems that there is no reason of having. We will have extra difficulties. So someone says something to us, and we try to explain, or we complain, or we ask, why did you say this to me? Or your brother asks for something and you find it difficult and you can't do it. So basically, you reveal that you have an inner struggle. The struggle is either inside us or outside of us. It cannot be both inside and outside of us. So this means that the inner peace, the external peace, comes from the inner peace. Once we have external struggle, it means that inside we are empty and naked. Whoever has inner struggle is free from all the reactions, all the pain, all the pride and all things like that, because he tries to have good relationships with everyone, and he tries not to create problems around him. He tries to love everyone and talk in a nice way to everyone, and no one makes his life difficult. I don't know if you understood that.
What's an example of an external struggle?
So, Yerda says here, if you have a dog that barks behind you, you will give him a bone so that it stops chasing you. The same happens with everyone around us. We make them enemies or we make them friends. But what it means here is that something comes to us, someone comes to us and tells us, for example, an insult. The struggle will either be inside us or outside of us. If we struggle inside us and we manage to overcome ourselves, we will not get into a fight with this person, because we already covered the truth and we're okay with it. Like, he might be right, he might be wrong, whatever, I focus on God, I don't mind, I'm keeping my peace. I fought inside me, I won, so I will not fight with this person. But if I fight with this person, it shows that I did not fight inside me. Because if I was to fight inside me and would have won, I would have not talked back. I would have kept the peace. So the struggle is either inside us or outside us. And it has to be inside us so that we're in charge of ourselves and we don't create problems with everyone around us. You see, the people that they have enemies, is because there is no inner fight. Whatever goes through their mind, they want to do it. They don't care for the consequences, they don't care for the others, they don't care for anything. But if they were to have a look at themselves and sort it out inside them, then they wouldn't have external problems. Make sense? Yerida says that it's a lie that our intellect never stops moving from the one thing to the other. If I really want, I can easily focus, unless there is a psychological problem and then there is a difficulty. And I guess for some people it's easier, for some people it's harder. For me, it's harder. But if you do not rely on yourself and you rely on God, sooner or later you find your personal way of focusing. And I remember that Yerda Simlianos, they were asking him about how to pray, the technique of breathing, and this and that, how to sit, how to stand when you pray. And sometimes he used to say that the person that has love, the person who loves God, doesn't need any of these things. He can connect with God like that. Because once you have love, that's God is love. You're connected already. You don't need techniques, you don't need breathing, you don't need anything. Of course everything helps, but you don't need all these things if you truly love God. And Yerda says that our intellect can always be with God, and it is not difficult. If we have any questions, anything, like, could be relevant, could be irrelevant. This is not just for monks. This is for everyone who takes his or her life seriously. Because God did not create us to be monks or nuns or married or this or that. This is a choice that we choosing our lives, but he definitely created us to be saints. And God doesn't make mistakes. He did not create us by accident. So we're responsible because we are unique in the history of the humanity. Only born once, we will die once, and every second that we experience and we live, it will never come back. And if we think of, if all of us we were like Saint Paisio or Saint Porfirio, how better everyone around us would have been? How more spiritual if we were in their shoes, if we were like them? I don't know if I told you this, but once in Simonopetra, one of the disciples of Saint Porphyrios came, visited. After Saint Porphyrios passed away, he was not a saint yet, he was not canonized yet, and he told us one thing. He told us that when his elder, Saint Porphyrios, was young, God gave him so much grace that he didn't know what to do with it. It was way too much. But when Saint Porphyrios was older, he could give this grace, he could pass it on to other people, he could pass it on to someone, but the amount of grace he had, and the grace he had, he said, there was not even one person on earth capable of handling it. This shows that we're not saints, not because we cannot inherit grace from the saints, which is the easier way of going closer to God, but because we don't empty ourselves enough to be capable of being filled up with such huge amounts of grace. So if we really wanted, we would have been like him. And once there was a synaxe with the monks in Simonopetra, and one of the monks asked Gerard Emiliano, Gerard, if I want, can I become like Saint Simon the New Theologian? And Gerard said, yes, if you want, you can. And he asked, what do I need to do? And he said one word. He said, "Vuli, χρειάζεται vuli." Now, to explain this word, you can explain it in lots of ways and anyway, but what I think it means, vuli, it's like η Βουλή των Ελλήνων που λέμε, it's the council of the governing council of Greece or Australia. I think what Γέροντας Μιλανός meant is that you focus on God, you become one with God, and then you talk with him like a friend. The same way that the apostles were walking with Christ after his resurrection, they didn't even know he was him there. But this time you know that it's God, you know, because you become one with him. And you tell him, I want to do this. And God will enable you to do this, become what you want. But this is not out of pride. This is because you sold yourself. As we said before, the meaning of the name Adonis, you sold yourself. You sold yourself in a way that God can do whatever he wants with you, but you're still a personality. He still respects you. He will still ask you, what do you want to do? And you can tell him, I want to do this. Usually the character he gives us is what's the most beneficial for us to develop. And this is what it is. But if I wanted to be like a specific saint, if I really, really love this, for no personal reasons, but for the good of the church, for example, if the archbishop, our archbishop wanted to be like Saint Basil the Great, he could ask and he could receive this, and he could do what Saint Basil the Great did. Yes. So this is what it is. So Saint Porphyrios could not give his grace to anyone on earth, because there was not even one person capable of handling it. And that's embarrassing for all the billions of people and for every single one of us. But it is what it is. That's it? Questions?
It's probably a silly question, but why is it so easy for us to feel joy when we entertain these thoughts, but then we don't act them out? Why can't we, I don't know if I can explain it properly, why can't our character, which is from God, recognize it as bad before it, not before it lands, but when we, through our discernment, why can't we, before it lands in our minds, brush it off?
With practice, you get there. But when you're not experienced, you can't do it straight away. It's like with any sort of sport, your reflex get better with practice. And then you play the sport better. This is what it is. But you can't do it from the start. You will miss a few times, but then your experience will tell you what to do next time. And with practice, you get better. There were more?
From a practical sense, my question is, it's a little bit of last week and a little bit of this week. When you are doing something like your job, which is necessary, and you're working with people, and you have a feeling about someone through your intuition that perhaps they're not going to be able to deliver, you've seen them make a few mistakes, do a few things which seem strange. Typically, your intuition would say to you, perhaps this isn't the right person for this job. My question practically is, how do you discern between it being potentially a negative thought? Like, how can you know if it's your thought or if it's from the tempter?
That they won't make it.
Yes, to have these negative thoughts about someone.
Yes. A thought that this person will not make it, if this is what it is, it's not a negative thought, it's a reality.
Okay.
So that's not a negative thought. This is what it is. I know that if I was to ask someone who doesn't speak English to translate in English, they can't do it.
Okay.
So there are certain capabilities that people have, or certain gifts that people have, that others they don't. And the people that they don't, they can't do certain things. That's common sense. But once you know that, make sure that your judgment is not because you don't like the person or because you want to promote yourself. And after that, without creating problems with them, gently you avoid giving them these responsibilities for the good of everyone. Is not just for your own peace of mind, it's because it will be dangerous for everyone if they don't deliver, or it could be even embarrassing for themselves if they can't deliver. Yeah. But knowing that someone is not capable of doing something is not a bad thought, it's the reality, if this is what it is. And you might be wrong, like you might think that you know them well and you might not, but you have to act according to where you're more peaceful. So what's more peaceful inside you? You cannot risk, you cannot gamble everything because you want to give them 10 chances. You can give them one or two, and then you can give some chances to other people, maybe. Yeah.
Thank you.
And work is work. You have to be kind, you have to be gentle, but you can't let people demolish everything. It's not fair.
Also, when I'm at work, I find that I'm working all day, working all day, working all day, and then I come to 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I think to myself, I haven't even thought about God today because my thoughts are so completely consumed.
That's your job. You have to do that. But in the back of your mind, keep in mind that God is watching you.
Okay.
God is there. And this is like praying while you do everything else.
Okay. Mm. Thank you.
Sorry. Is there anything else?
So does everyone, you kind of alluded to it before, does everyone have their own way of focusing and on not making conversations with the thoughts?
It's just that Like when someone practices Jesus prayer, eventually they find what the fathers call their heart, meaning the point of concentration. The same happens with the thoughts. When you practice Nipsi, you will find your own way of avoiding thoughts, which will be personal.
So it's not always with Jesus prayer?
It could be. But no, it could be with something else. It could be, you can have vigilance just by thinking of an experience that God has given you. And this gives you so much happiness, energy, and safety, a feeling of safety that could be way better than Jesus prayer. And actually this is way better because this regenerates God's presence in your life. When Jesus prayer might just be a tool, what are you going to do with the tool when you have the full result of something? Like, you don't need to get there, you're there. I don't know if I make any sense. So like once they asked Yer de Miliano, when the saints, they have an ecstasy, they have an experience with God, do they keep saying Jesus prayer? And Yer de Miliano said, if you're in front of God, what are you going to do with Jesus prayer? You're there. You don't need it to get there. You're there. You don't need the steps that you walked on to get there. You're there. The steps are behind. But usually we're on the steps. Yeah. That's it. All right, let's say the prayer and we finish. Χριστός Ανέστη εκ νεκρών θανάτου θάνατο πατήσει και τη σημείνη ζωή χαρισάμενος, αληθώς Ανέστη ο Κύριος.